in Egypt. Let me just recap for you for a moment. Just briefly go over the story. God gave him the gift of interpretation. When he told his brothers and his fathers about those dreams were to let Joseph know he was going to rule over his older brothers. He was the youngest, and his father ultimately. Well, they didn't like that. The urging of one of the brothers to sell him into slavery. And she tried to seduce him, and he kept refusing and refusing. Sold into slavery as a young man because all he did was tell his brothers and father the truth about what God had given to him and the promise that God had given. All right, I want to start there for a second. Trouble. When I talk about get in trouble, I mean get in trouble because of either something they did or something they didn't do. And this right? Maybe some of you have been there before. However, here's what I see in this passage. All through the account of ran from his responsibility to be faithful to God, to be so-and-so, I'm here all wrong, you know. This is an injustice. He didn't do that. In fact, if you look at the account, he ministered in prison, even though he was wrongfully accused. That's how he interpreted. They were depressed. He went up to them. And in the middle of this prison, he says, "How can I help you?" I have to be honest with you. For me, I might have said to these guys, you know, don't bother me. I got my own troubles. Don't bother me. Here's why this passage is important to me, and maybe to you. We live in a day and age where instead of accepting responsibility for ourselves, does that sound familiar? All right. And we know full well we're responsible for the mess we got in. We want to blame somebody else. I came from a broken home. You know, it's not my fault. After all, look at what so-and-so did. And Adam rebelled against God, who did he blame? Eve. Let me bring this a little bit closer to home. I never except me. What I mean by that is this. It was my Nobody owed it to me, and I certainly wouldn't look to the government. When I got married, it was not anybody's responsibility to as you heard at the beginning of the service, I'm the CEO. I answer to the president. But in saying that, it was my responsibility to find employment. It was my responsibility. This when Joey was coming up through Lacey school system in the I guess it was seventh or eighth grade, I guess it was middle school, they had sex education classes, and I really took offense. Morals, or the lack of morals. Now some of you may disagree with me. I don't know. But it's my responsibility as a parent to teach my child morals and ethics. Does that make sense? So I had a discussion with the teacher who was teaching these things. And I said, you are actually teaching behaviors that we have abdicated our own personal responsibilities. And by abdicated, I mean we've ignored them. We have relinquished them to other people. Church to have good Bible study leaders. We are very fortunate. However, I want to say, my spiritual growth is my responsibility. And so Joseph, I think, in his life really grasped onto this early on. And you can see in his character, he was responsible for his own spiritual care. He was responsible for his own physical care. He was responsible for all his areas of his life. He never ran from those responsibilities, nor did he point fingers at anybody else and say, it's your fault, it's your responsibility. Did you? Well, look at the passage with me. Starting back at verse 41 that Alexis read so well before. And took him out of being a prisoner So from a prisoner to a prince, only God. Finger. Now, that was important because that signet ring was the seal of approval of the gold chain around his neck, robes, meaning position of authority, majesty. We talked a little bit about this last week. Who wears robes? Judges, priests, you know. He's second in command in Egypt. He had him ride a chariot as second in command, and people shouted, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land. There are some people who suffer but don't know how to suffer well. You're laughing. There are some people who suffer who get and I have to give this caveat to you. The reason why he knew how to suffer well is because he was able to take responsibility before God for his own care and his own growth. He couldn't do this without God's help. He knew it. He couldn't do this without the power of God in his life. He knew it. He couldn't do this without God's hand on him. He knew it. And he took responsibility. Taking responsibility does not mean for us as Christians we just sit back and do nothing. Should I say that again? It doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing. Let me give you an example. We have to put the work in. You mean you're not going to hand it to me? No. God doesn't do that either. Is that, and this is not a popular thing. To skip that suffering part, don't we? Joseph was suffering for exalts him. And he's at that point. Look at verse 44. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, the name, here you go, Zephanath, sounds close to me, right? Paneah, and nobody knows what that name means, by the way. Daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went through the says Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph his wisdom related to the vision and the dream that God gave to him, gave this great plan to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, we need somebody wise to That's why he said we can't sit back and just wait and say God's going to take care of it. There's nothing wrong with planning. Right? I want to say that again. There's nothing wrong with planning. If you want to know more about financial planning, financially, your money's going to tell you where it's going instead of you telling your money where it's going. And so he had a plan. Here was the plan. Joseph collected all the food in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt, stored it up in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it went beyond measure. This was God's promise that he was going to give this incredible amount of abundance because it was a our finances and our time sometimes reveals much about how we how many of us have an emergency fund? And Dave Ramsey says an emergency fund Joseph and his wife. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my what? We're suffering for doing the right thing in his years ago is the most valuable process I ever went through. This was part of my doctoral study. I want you to follow this along. I'm going to run you through this. And if you have anything you think would be valuable. As it's coming up, let me just say this. With services like ours, where we give a lot of concentration on the sermon. Sermons are valuable. My job is to encourage you, to bring the day, you are going to be in the Word for yourselves. You're going to study it. You're going to see what God is saying, and you're going to take that responsibility to grow spiritually. So I'm challenging all of us today, including myself again, to engage in what is called self-leadership. Let me put it another way. If you don't choose to lead yourself, you'll have 100 other people in line who will direct your path. And most I gave credit to one of my professors, Dr. Sam Rima. This comes from his book, Some of the Key Areas. I don't know why he did that, but spiritual care. I put that as the first one because if we don't it means that you are going to make some commitments. Meditate more on the word. Meditation is not a bad word. Okay? You meditate on the scriptures. If you want to pray more, that this can happen. This will not happen on just a Sunday morning. You and I need to take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. And you remember the illustration I used before about, you know, the midterms and putting the book underneath. I have to ask a revealing question. Will you open this up again this coming week before? Take advantage of that. Will you take advantage of the Bible studies, the prayer meetings, the Dave Ramsey? One of the things I really get upset about as a pastor is when I talk. My question back to them is simple. Are you going to the word hungry? Emotional care. Emotional care. Imagine the pain of being betrayed by his brothers. Hearing pain of betrayal, that must have been. When we are first to you. And Lord, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how it's going to happen. But Lord, if I let this fester, it's going to continue like an infection. And it's going to be bad. Lord, I need you. That would cause bitterness, resentment, the desire for revenge. Joe Henry was a big guy. He's lost a lot of weight since, but he was a big guy. And he tells So another way of saying that is there's no other way to say it. We have to take care of ourselves physically. Next area. Intellectual care, something we don't think about. I know some of us don't like to be students. I know that. I know some of us don't like to read. I know that too. But there's ways to continue to stimulate the mind and intellectual care. You should have some goal. No matter what way you earn your money, is it a job where you want to be? Isn't it important to like what you do? Is it fulfilling the needs? Best flourish in with our gifts, with what God has given to us. I don't know if I ever met somebody who was more miserable than somebody who had to go to work at a job they hated every day. Okay? While you still have a job. Gabish? Okay. Unless. Making the goals that you need to make, taking baby steps. And all of these things take baby steps. The second step by faith and go on and do this is exactly what Joseph did, and this is how he got through 13 years of hell. We also need to take responsibility for our failures. Blew it. I failed. There's nothing wrong with failing. Four. to face the past so he can go forward. Is that 80% of professing Christians, 80% of professing Christians the pain of failures, disappointments, and hurts of the past. To do it, but it's part of the healing that needs to happen so we can go forward. Next. Trust the God for 13 years. Joseph was, because he took ...40 years. Moses did, because he took responsibility. He trusted the process. Were they perfect? No. But they never gave up on the promise of God. Trust the process. This is another cultural thing, because we want instant results. A prescription and you go back to work. We don't even give ourselves time to trust the process of healing. Trust the process, God's process, not ours, God's. Allow God to bring healing so he can enable us to forgive biblically. I want to suggest that forgiveness is one of the biggest obstacles in our lives. For a moment, do you remember Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh? Manasseh means to forget. Forgive is to forget. That is not true. What Joseph means here is simply this. In his 13-year journey of suffering, in his 13 years of maturity, responsibility, God brought him to a point where God healed the hurt of the past so that he enabled him to forgive. He didn't forget, but he enabled him to forgive. Some psychologists, when they talk about forgiveness, they say there's two types of forgiveness. Forgiveness is this. I'll pick on Bill, okay? When Bill came in this Bill, it's okay, but you do it again? Complete forgiveness can only happen, I believe, by the supernatural action. Now, you know as well as I do, the deeper the hurt, the longer that process might take. It doesn't happen overnight. It's the difference between a paper cut or having a very deep cut to the bone. Which one's going to heal faster? The paper cut, because it's superficial. There are some superficial hurts we should just let go of. Isn't that right? But there are some hurts that hurt. To say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I'm still bitter, angry. Lord, help me. Bring healing so that when I remember, I no longer want revenge or retribution. The reunion of his brothers. Because what would you do if you were Joseph? Here's a whole family coming and asking you for food. The family that betrayed you. The family that wanted to kill you. What would you do? But it wasn't malicious. He was able to forgive, genuinely forgive, and be restored. So, there's a danger in preaching this message, and I'll tell you what the danger is. Like that. God has to do the deep work in us. Process, because they're going to finish well. Well, let's stop running from our responsibilities. our physical care, our professional care, our intellectual care,